Welcome to the Unlucky Sperm Club podcast, where we prove that you are not a victim of your circumstances, but a product of your choices. This podcast will help you live your best life, no matter where you started or where you're at right now. I am your host, Nelson Tressler. This episode is brought to you by I Got Smarter, Goals Elevated. I Got Smarter gives you all the tools, knowledge, and support to finally achieve your life's biggest goals. No matter what your goals are, I Got Smarter is the program to help you achieve them once and for all. Available at igotsmarter.com or the app stores. As always, on the Unlucky Sperm Club podcast, we are all about to get lucky with some words of wisdom from today's guest. Leonard Irwin. Leonard has mastered the simple yet powerful inside-out understanding around our state of mind, using this strategy to move past four decades of struggle with his own debilitating negative self-talk. Leonard is going to help us see that presence is our greatest asset to experience less stress and more success in both business and life. Welcome to the show, Leonard. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Nelson. How are you?
Great. I appreciate you being here. I like to start off by asking one question. What's one piece of advice that will have, you know, people pulling over their card or write it down on a post-it note? Quote, a piece of advice, something that we can start the show off with a bang.
Wow, now my brain just sputtered. I don't know. I have to think about that. I'm trying to think of something very, very, prophetic or something that sounds cool. All I can think of is you're better than you think. Like, I don't know that, honestly, that was, you're better than you think, Nelson. Seriously, like that was my pile of manure that I dealt with all my life. Seriously, that was it.
Oh, I love that because I think there's so many people out there that have, I mean, a little bit of that negative self-talk, not even a little bit, a lot of it. And I know I went through a lot of that, you know, with my background and where I came from and so many other people that I've talked to. And that's the great thing about, working on yourself and becoming that better version of yourself. Once you see that potential in yourself, and you tell me if this is true for you or not, but once you saw that potential, once you saw what you were capable of doing, you're never the same. And that was for sure the situation with me is once I realized, you know, I became the first person in my family to graduate from college. And that kind of opened my eyes to like, holy cow. You know, I set my mind to something and I actually did something. I did it with dyslexia. I did it with a family that had, you know, of 15 children, only two of them had ever graduated high school. None had graduated college. And once I realized that I could do something, I was never the same. What do you think about that?
I completely agree with you. Like I'm one of 27 grandchildren on my dad's side. I'm 58. I have a cousin that's almost, my first cousin's almost 80. She's about ready to see like her fifth generation. I'm the first person to graduate from university on that side. And on my mom's side, I'm one of 12 grandchildren and I'm the second person to graduate. The funny thing was, Nelson, I was never supposed to go to university. Like I was one of those kids that was told in high school. And I mean, this is years ago. I'm going back to the 70s, but I mean, I just remember, you know, I don't know what it's like in the States, but here when I was growing up, you know, somewhere around your final year of high school, they call you into the guidance counselor's office to have the talk of the future, right? So the university that's here in my hometown would be like Yale or Harvard in the U.S. It's one of our five Ivy League schools. It's called Queen's University. And I always wanted to go there. Like, I always thought, like, why couldn't I go there, right? And then I remember I remember saying something like, you know, I'd really like to go to Queen's University, you know, and the guidance counselor, he brought out this booklet for the local community college when I've gone there too. But he was like, you know, we've got this community college. What about going here? Like, these are great programs for you, right? I don't know. Him and Hod. And then, and I can also remember being in grade seven and my grade seven teacher saying to my parents that I will never be able to go to university or college and I won't go far in life because I will always have to be told what to do. And I can still remember my mother coming out of that PT, that parent teacher interview, crying. And that just pissed me off.
Yeah. And, you know, I think this happens so often to so many people is people in authority positions want to tell us what we can do and what we can't do. And I think a lot of the times they feel like they're protecting us. Like, yep. You know, don't set your standards too high because they don't want you to fail. They don't want you to come up short and struggle. But I frankly think that's probably the worst thing to do. I would rather try my hardest and fail at doing something extraordinary. And then, you know, coming up a little bit short, you know, I've heard the quote, you know, it's not that we set our goals too high and don't achieve them. It's that we set our goals too low and we do achieve them. And I think that's what a lot of teachers and guidance counselors all tell us is like, set your standards low, you know, that way you'll meet them. But I think that's a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Well, Leonard, let's get into your story a little bit. Sure. Give us the 10,000 foot version of your story and kind of where you came from and what's led you to here talking to me.
So looking up at 10,000 feet, looking down on my past, I would say that I've said this and I'm very sincere when I say this, but I was an insecure coward. That's how I saw myself, as this insecure coward and this person that, for lack of a better word, Nelson, I used to go to bed at night as a child hoping that I would die. And if the earth had the earth shot all its poop into space, I was a part of that poop and I just wanted to go off and that the world would be a better place if Leonard was in here. That type of thing. You know, my mom and dad, I mean, they did the best they could with what they knew and what they had. And I know that. And I come from a family farm. It's been in our family for across three centuries. My brother owns it now. My mom has part of it and I live with her now. I'm helping her out as she's getting a bit older. Every day I heard something negative about myself. I was stupid, dumb, lazy, no good. Like the one thing that I remember hearing the most is what's wrong with you in some phrase, like what's wrong with you? What's wrong, Leonard? What's wrong with you? Right. And I would hear that all the time. And I mean, all the time, like, I can't sit here and say every day, but enough to know that at some point in my life, I thought that there was, in every area of my life, there was something like something fundamentally wrong with me. Like the programming or the first line of code of software at birth, I missed it. Like somehow I missed it. And my brother and sister got it, or everybody else got it but me. And I thought, well, you know, if I can figure out what that is, then I can go and do all the things that I wanted to do, which is, you know, have kids, become a dad, get a job, have a mortgage, you know, own a home. Like being a married dad with a mortgage and have a family and a kid, to me, that was success. Other people have told me, well, that's crazy. But to me, that I wanted those things so much, but I spent so much of my time, well, until my early 50s, looking for what was wrong with me, trying to figure that out. And then I'm 50. I'll be 58 in 4 days. And so 8 years ago, I heard a podcast in 2013. changed my life. It was by maybe you've heard of a fellow American, Michael Neal. He's the author of The Inside Out Revolution. It's a book.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that one. Sorry.
Okay, anyways, he's out of California. Great guy. Anyways, I heard that podcast, and I'm not a guy that really listens to a lot of podcasts. I mean, there's a few that I listen to. His, I do. And there's something there, like something there I heard. And then I remember running down to the local bookstore, which at that time was two blocks away from when I was married to my wife. And I got this book and I read it. This was Labor Day week in 2013. And I read it from cover to cover the next 4 days. And I had this, and my mental state, Nelson, was I was never present. The negative tapes ran so much in my head that I was never, ever, ever present, I don't think. I was diagnosed with ADHD. And that podcast and hearing it, reading the book, my mind stopped racing for 1 second that weekend. Like just one, I had 1 second of quietness for the first time in my life. And that changed everything. Like that changed everything. And, I didn't have a really good relationship with my dad up until that time. There were probably times where we hated each other. I remember that time my then wife said to me something to the effect of, we know your dad's dying. We know that from cancer. She said, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if you don't spend time with him now, try and forgive him and forgive yourself. You're going to spend the rest of your life always wondering, and I don't want that for you or for me. And Nelson, honestly, I saw like in that, like the next thing after the 1 second of quietness, I saw how I've been bringing up all the negative self-talk about who I thought my dad was from the age of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 into my 50s. And I saw how I was creating him, how I was making him. And that he was a dad like you. He was, I think, you know, doing the best he could with what he knew. And I went home, I went to my parents' house that day, and I just started hanging out with him. And he said, would you mind, my dad loved to gamble. So he said, would you mind taking me to the casino, which was a half hour away? And I said, yeah, sure, I would do that. And that became, though, I took my dad 8 times. My dad died 10 weeks later, and there were 8 separate times where I would just get a call from my mom and dad, can you take us to the casino? And there was one time where, so my favorite meal at that time was meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and cream corn. Like, love that it. Was like, that it's was my all-time favorite. One, I don't eat meat anymore, but at that time, my all-time favorite meal, my ex-wife at the time made up. Fantastic meatloaf. And I'm sitting there and the phone rings. This is about three or four weeks after having this aha moment. And she looked at me, she said, it's your dad. And I'm about to eat the piece of meatloaf. It's got ketchup on it. And picked up the phone. Dad said, hey, would you mind taking us to the casino? I said, yeah, I'll be there in half an hour. That is how 40 minutes down there, gambled for 2 hours, 40 minutes back. I sat at the bar and I knew the bartender a little bit. And Nelson, that was the most memorable times of my life, just like the ride back and forth. And it's never too late to find peace. It's never too late to find self-worth. I guess it's never too late. And that led me to being on a journey of self-exploration, I just rapid self-exploration. It's like before that, I just wasn't ever there. And then 1 second of the last 8 years have been so rapid. And then 5 years ago, I saw something, I had like this aha moment when I was 55. And it literally, my soul rattled and I couldn't go back. I had like 3 premonitions and they all came true. And, I've never been happier in my life.
If you're ready to take your goal achievement to the next level and finally achieve your life's biggest goals, join us at igotsmarter.com, and allow me to be your personal goal guide. Without a doubt, I Got Smarter is the best goal achievement program on the market. All of your goals are waiting for you. Let me and the I Got Smarter community help you live the life of your dreams. Join us at igotsmarter.com or download the app at the app stores. Well, touch on those a little bit, if you don't mind. I mean, what kind of came in? A little bit with your dad in losing him to cancer and what's going through your mind at that time. I mean, do you have any goals in your life at that time? Like what's your main focus at that time with your father, especially since you guys, it sounded like you had a rough road up to that point. And I think a lot of the people that listen to this podcast, you know, the Unlucky Sperm Club, I think a lot of them have some tough family situations and very dynamic family situations. How did you get past that? I mean, it sounds like there was some hurt there. You talked about hate. How do you get past that? I mean, does it take something like, I'm going to lose this person, so now I've got to make up for lost time? Or was it just simply enough is enough and this isn't benefiting me or him and it's time to make a change?
It was actually quite, it was a lot easier than that I felt. I mean, it was seeing that I was the one creating by constant remembering all the negative self-talk that my dad had said to me and all the things that he had done to me. And I kept rehashing it and rebringing it up. So I was always living in the past. And there was just this one day, like my mind just quieted. I had this one moment of peace. And that literally, I still to this day don't understand why, but my next thought was, man, dad did the best he could with what he had. And I started crying in this bookstore, the cafe. Like I started crying and I thought, you know, and the girls and those become more sure. I go, yeah, I'm okay. I'm just having a good memory of my dad.
Let's get into that a little bit, Leonard, because sure. all of those feelings that you had to that point, you gave a negative meaning to before you had this epiphany. Like your dad wasn't doing a good job. He was talking down to you. What's wrong with you? Up to that point now, you had the same exact, you didn't go back and change the past, right?
No.
The only thing you did was you went back and you changed the meaning that you gave those circumstances. And I think that's a very important concept that our listeners can really benefit from, because one of the concepts that we teach at I Got Smarter is, things only have the meaning that you're willing to give them. And I had that same situation in my life. The circumstances surrounding my birth, I gave a negative meaning all the way up till I was 40. Never wanted to talk about it, didn't tell anybody about it except for my wife. But as soon as I looked at that and said, you know what, I live that life for a purpose. And then I started to give it a positive meaning. The circumstances were still the same. The only thing that changed was I gave it a different meaning. And I truly believe you get to give meaning to everything that happens to you in your life. Why on earth are we giving things that happen to us a negative meaning? I know it takes a lot of effort and getting pretty creative a lot of the times to find that silver lining in it, but you just did it with your dad and it made all the difference. As you said here today, I'm sure you're so grateful that you were able to do that and overcome that and have that those last 10 weeks, right, of giving it a different meaning. And so talk a little bit about that, because I think so many of our listeners can benefit from using that strategy to things that have happened in their past.
I guess the strategy was that I don't know if it was a strategy. I saw how we live in 100%. The inside of understanding means that we live in 100% thought, feeling, connection. And moment by moment by moment, we create our reality from here to here, like a movie projector. And I didn't know that I didn't know that's the way the mind, I come to understand, that's the way the mind works. And once I saw that, like I actually got that for myself, that, you know, what I got was is not prescriptive, it's descriptive, and every human being does that. And I kept running and holding on to all the negative things that my dad did. And like, I mean, whipping me and beating me and calling me names, and, you know, and I can only imagine what he went through. And I mean, when I think also too, and I don't have kids, but I don't know, but I think when you're the oldest, you're the trial model. So everything gets kind of, you're a dad. So I guess, and I've talked to some friends who are dads, and they said, well, yeah, you know, the trial model, the first one you learn your biggest mistakes from.
You know what? We have that joke in our household that I have three boys. And I talk about this in the Unlucky Sperm Club. I had a, for instance, with my oldest son who just hit me at the wrong time. And, you know, I had been through an abusive childhood and I never wanted to do that to my kids. And my oldest child just irked me one day and I just kind of grabbed him by the collar and threw him up the stairs and all the way into his bedroom. And I'm kind of sitting over top of him and I have this, oh my goodness, I'm turning into my stepfather. Like, what am I doing? And, you know, I kind of got up and that was as scared as I've ever been. But the joke is I tell whenever my other two younger ones irritate me, I'm like, you guys should go thank Dawson because he's saving you right now from getting your butt whooped. And so that's kind of the joke. So I agree 100%. I was also the oldest. So I think there was a lot of trial and error there. But yeah, I experienced that in my own life.
Yeah, I mean, I know my sister, there was a time before she passed away where my mother had to look after her two grandchildren. I was in transition for a couple months at my mom's house. And my mom said, well, if you're going to live here, you're going to have to be responsible for them. Like, I'm sorry, but you're now a parent. Like, that's it. Like, there's no choice. You're a parent. And for the next 6 months, I'm like, gulp. Like, what am I doing? You know, gulp, gulp. Like, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? You know, God, I hope I don't screw this up. I hope I don't, you know, I hope I don't, you know, injure these kids. I hope I don't mess them up. You know, those are my thoughts, but you know, I've asked them and they go, no, no. That's all they say. They go, no, you didn't do any of that. No.
Yeah. Well, Leonard, as we're kind of winding down here, I like to go, I'm a quote guy and I love listening to inspirational videos and writing down things and putting my own spin on them. And so I literally have thousands of post-it notes with inspirational quotes all around my house and in my office. So I like to ask some of my guests what their take is on some of these inspirational quotes and get your input on how you feel about it. Do you agree with it? And give sure. us your take on it. So let's go through a few of these and see what your take is. The first one is, what we know is not always reflected in what we do.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I, like I said, I'm from the world of theater. So like, I get up every day, Nelson, and I go, I just kind of believe life unfolds as it unfolds and I let it unfold. I wake up every day without anticipating how the day will go.
Yeah.
And for me, that's been one of the biggest stress releasers or leveling off the stress in my life. Like, I'm not going, oh God, oh God, oh God, this better work out. Just it will work itself out.
Great. All right. How about this one? It's not what we can do in life that matters. It's what we do in life that matters.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I thought that I was an insecure. I was an insecure coward back then. And I lived in so much fear of afraid of doing the wrong thing, afraid of taking an action and screwing it up. I've lived in so much fear. And now I just kind of go, yeah, you know, we can do so much more in life than we think. And thank God for what, thank God for the limitations I had as a child, because it helps me to share stories that I go, like, if I can over, I hope my clients get, you know, well, if Leonard can do it and my life didn't suck as much as his did, then I can do it too.
Yeah. Great. All right. How about this one? We will almost always find treasure if we just keep digging.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think, yeah, again, you know, when I was in theater school, we used to always have this saying, when we do something right or good performance, would be, oh, that was golden. You know, like I would say, Nelson, your performance, well, that was golden, man. Like, that was golden. And I think there is gold in every situation if you're willing to see it. And again, from a personal, like, I saw that as much as my dad, the way he was and the way my mom and dad were and the other people around me were, and they believed in corporal punishment, and there were some things that came good out of that, Nelson. Like, I learned to take a hit as a kid. Well, that may not seem relevant today, but I've learned, but it's allowed me to have a higher tolerance for pain. So if I play sports, I get hit, I get knocked over, I just keep going. And then people will come up to me and, like, you know, feel my, like, are you okay? Like, there's nothing. Oh, no, no. Well, man, you, like, you took, like you went against a goalpost, but you kept going. I go, yeah, okay. You know, yeah. or when someone, I used to work in a retail job at Home Depot stores here in Canada, my hometown, Kingston. And I've had people scream in my face for, especially in the last year of the pandemic, of, you know, appliances not being delivered. And I'm able to, because I grew up in an environment where people screamed and yelled at me, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. I think a lot of people listen to this podcast, you know, born in the Unlucky Sperm Club, they've gotten used to a lot of that stuff. I was also in the military, so you get used to it in there. And now you know, especially with my kids, you raise your voice just a little bit and it's like, why are you yelling? And it's like, I'm not yelling. I'm just emphasizing. So yeah, I think we're living in a different world as we sit here today with a lot of the ways that people react to certain things. Let's try this one. If you want to be successful, do the things that suck.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I absolutely. I would even put a spin on that where about 3 years ago, I was starting at Home Depot and I was coaching and was also coaching part-time a woman who was a project manager for the government of Canada. And she was doing a lot of software development. And I don't know, I said something and she said, well, she said, I always ask to do the worst jobs, the jobs that suck, the jobs that no one wanted, or the jobs that people would suck at, like, go for it. And so the very next day I walked up to the first manager, which happened to be one of the assistant store managers. And I said something to the effect of, let's say it was you, Nelson. I said, hey Nelson, how's it going? Good. I said, just so you know, for the record, if you have any jobs that nobody else wants to do, give them to me and I'll do them better than anyone else. And this person had been at this store for 21 years. And she said to me, Leonard, never in my 21 years has anyone ever said that to me. I've taken under advisement. Guess what happened the very next day, Nelson? I got asked to clean up a pallet of motor oil and windshield washer fluid somehow got mixed up. And it was about a 40-foot, guess who cleaned it up with a rag towel and a bucket? Me.
Yeah.
And I was happy. I was happy, Nelson. Like, I was going, mm-hmm. I was being my mom. I was like, singing and humming. And people were like, what is wrong with you? I go, what do you mean? They go, well, you're up to your knees in gunk and you're singing. I go, yeah, I'm loving it.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Last one here. As your faith increases, so does your joy.
Oh, absolutely. Especially faith in yourself, faith in God, the divine, the bigger in life. Yeah, Absolutely. And it's so much easier than I think we realize to be enjoyed more often than not. It's a choice.
Well, Leonard, I appreciate you being on the show, man. Lots of good insight, lots of nuggets of knowledge that I think a lot of the listeners of the Unlucky Sperm Club podcast are going to benefit from. So I appreciate you being on the show. Thank you for listening to the Unlucky Sperm Club podcast. We would also like to thank our sponsors, I Got Smarter, Goals Elevated. No matter what your goals are, I Got Smarter is the program to help you achieve them once and for all. If you like this episode of the Unlucky Sperm Club podcast, you'll love my book, The Unlucky Sperm Club, available at Amazon and Audible. Help your friends and family get lucky too by sharing this show with them. If you'd like to connect with me personally, please go to nelsontressler.com. Remember, never let your past poison your potential or your life's purpose. Until next time, be lucky.